Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Michael Lovely. This is Change That Matters, where we have conversations that count and talk about change that truly matters. I'm thankful for you being here with us today. Got a very special guest here, a friend of mine, ran for County Council, Vandalyn Baker. She is going to talk to us today about some community engagement, community involvement, and also we'll talk a little bit about some things going on in the news and some history, as well as find out a little bit more about what our community needs. So please join me in welcoming, and thank you so much for being here, Vandalyn Baker.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I'm so glad that you're here, and thank you so much for agreeing to do this. So to get us started, just tell us anything about yourself that you would like for the audience to know.
Hey, I have lived in Jasper County for a little over 10 years now, so I'm really excited for the people to embrace me and to start really acknowledging my existence. I have a 16-year-old. So I feel like that's really important to say because I get the teenage aspect and I get TikTok, which is really important to our younger generation.
Right.
So I really want to put that out there. And I definitely believe in community and organizing and volunteering, and just, unity, bringing us together.
So you are not originally from the Jasper County area. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Yes.
So quite the contrast.
Oh, yes.
Urban metropolitan area to our little community here. As you made the move, what was one of the first things, or what are some of the first things that you noticed about the difference between living, we'll call it the region, up in the north, to here? Was it more relaxed, less stressful? Did you find that we didn't have as many conveniences?
I didn't really notice a huge difference other than it was quiet. I had found my quiet place, peace. And then we definitely more stores up north, definitely more things to do. But again, the contrast being it's quieter here. I get to save money here because I don't have any places to go.
Right.
So we get to eat in and cook and just really kind of get back to family values to a point.
Right.
So yes, I noticed the difference in people when I started working outside of the home. And that's when I kind of started to get a different, notice a different tone, from people, and from where I lived, where, you know, I don't know where, from where I lived there to now, here.
Fantastic. So as I mentioned before, you ran this last election cycle for county council, or one of three candidates on the Democratic ticket. And tell me just a little bit about what that was like. What made you decide to run? And what was it about running for that particular position that either you found interesting, or what was good about it? What did you learn? What would you change the next time if you were to run again?
First, shout out to Samantha. Okay. I just have to put that out there. If I were to run again, I would definitely, try to reach a different demographic of people. I feel like I would definitely work on voter registration first, which is huge. So really pushing people to sign up to vote, not pushing people, but encouraging people to sign up to vote. Really getting my base from people who have not voted or who have not voted in a while, and who would, like to see, someone who is more involved in the community, have a voice. So definitely. I enjoyed the run. It was interesting, to kind of put, on paper and to kind of tell people about myself. That brought me out of my comfort zone and out of my, shell. So I definitely, learned something from that. And that was incredible. I also learned that our Democratic Party is not so united. And so in my naive mind, I wanted to unite a community without even realizing that first our party needed to be united. And so that was a drawback. So looking back at it, a few things would have been done different.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely understand. And so, why county council? I'm just curious. Why county council? Why not something like, say, in the courthouse or even a township trustee or something like that?
So, all honesty, someone asked me to run. Okay. I had never even thought about even being on the county council, what that even meant. And with saying yes, before saying yes, I had to do my research.
Sure.
And so what I found out was the county council set the budget for things. It handled money. It has committees who really look at where our money is being spent, even though our commissioners bring it to the council that they want money for XYZ. And then, of course, the council approves it. But the council also gives money to our school. So, you know, the school board has to come before the council. The council also gives money to the sheriff's department. So the sheriff's department has to come before the council. And so with that, we all know money is king. So I wanted a seat at the table to really see where our money was being spent. And not only that, but I wanted transparency to actually tell people where our money was being spent. Because I feel like, and I still feel this way. I feel like we need to be open and have honest conversations and be transparent about things. And so that's mainly why I wanted to run. I realized that they set budgets, and I wanted to know where the money was going, and I wanted to be vocal about where that money was going.
And I think that's really important. And I think that it's great that you were asked, and it's great that you were willing to put yourself out there, because that, I mean, knowing from personal experience, you really do have to put yourself out there. You have to really promote and talk about yourself and why you are the right person for that position. And it sounds as though your reasons were very good reasons for wanting to be on the council. It was that transparency and making sure that the money was going where it needed to go. And that is a big point that you make, that we do lack transparency in this county. We all don't know where the money is being spent. I mean, we can't even see minutes and agendas for these meetings. We don't even know where the money is being spent. Where is our tax dollars being spent? So I was really, really rooting for you. You would have made a great addition to the council, again, for sheer fact that every council member is a man. It would have been really nice to have a woman on the council.
I agree. Different voices. Because
diversity, different voices, different perspective. You know, we are not all men that live in this county. There are women too. Mm-hmm. We should have equal representation there, not just all men. Well, that's great. And I hope that you will consider a run again sometime, because I do think you would be excellent at that. I want to switch briefly to talking about community projects. So there are some projects that are going on here in our community. And if there's any in particular that you feel strongly about, feel free to. I'm just going to leave it open to you. Any project that you know of that's going on in the county that you'd like to talk about, good or bad, I'd love to hear your thoughts. If not, that's okay. I'll throw a few projects out there that I know of that are going on, and just get your thoughts on it.
You go first.
Okay. So we have big controversy is over the expansion of the airport in Rensselaer, the Jasper County Airport. So we've had lots of controversy over the money being spent, and is this needed, and are we putting the, you know, cart before the horse, and, you know, we're building something that we don't necessarily need right now, I guess in the hopes that maybe we will need it eventually.
If you build it, they will come.
Right? I mean, it's that thought that if you build it, they will come. Okay. I'd really love to see what our plan is to try to get them to come, but... so just what are your thoughts on if we're building an airport that is meant to have more traffic and be more commercial, then what is the long range plan then to bring the business here in order to warrant such a project?
If we're going to look at it in that cut and dry way, there is not one, in all honesty. I can't see how money would be spent on an airport on such luxuries that only a few of us can truly afford. So and especially when we have so many people who live under the mean and under the median as far as the household incomes.
Yep.
So if we're gonna say that, then no. I was curious when I found out about this project, what the community involvement of this project would be. Would we get children out to check out some planes? Would we have a program, like an aviator program, or like some like things that could enrich our community since we were taking so many resources from the community? What I have discovered is there are programs. There is an aviator program, but it's not fully on the way. So it's not fully being used. And so we're still putting the energy now still into the top few people, and we aren't pouring back into our communities. And the reason I say that, like, I was a part of Upper Bound for my high school, and I got to go to Purdue, and I got to go up in a plane, and I got to see how amazing that was. And that broadened my perspective, my horizon to go, I can do more. I can be more. And so to have something like that here would have, or is, could be amazing for our children.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not against the airport expansion at all. My freshman year of college, I went to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, Florida, to be a commercial airline pilot. After my first year, I realized that my love of aviation was just that. It was a love of aviation and was not really the career path that I was meant to be on. So, but I do agree with you that we're talking about a very select group of people that are able to use the airport or afford to be able to use that. Where is the bigger picture in the overall scheme of this? How does that affect the entire community? Mm-hmm. I mean, are we going to see more income coming in from the airport? What is the end goal here? So with that in mind, where could this money have been put to better use, where it is being more effective to a broader population?
So I believe our children need extracurricular activities outside of the school. I believe that we need boys and girls type clubs. I believe that money could even go on into our school system to bring in programs that introduce children and welcome diversity with children, even training our teachers to look at people differently. I know that teachers go through diversity training, but I also know that it is a training on a computer that a teacher can or cannot take, chooses to take, as opposed to someone being brought in to have these conversations, which create unity at that point. I feel like the money could have been spent on the internet, just how we drop calls so much. And I don't know what that's called. I don't know everything, but I do know that our internet infrastructure, for lack of what I know, mm-hmm. needs to be built up and worked on. And I know that for a fact, because that was one of the things that was discussed in the town hall that we had when it came to what Jasper County needed and what we were facing in the next 10 years. So I feel like money could have gone there. I feel like money could have gone, definitely outreach programs. And even bringing in, I know Franciscan has done well on getting doctors in Rensselaer. But when I say, that I have to go to DeMont, or I had to, now the doctor's not even in DeMont anymore. They are now in Crown Point. And that was through Franciscan. And Franciscan has this thing where, oh, it has to do with the community. Well, maybe we all get together, or we can get together and figure this out of the company and the community and bring it as one with the money on the table, then we can get somewhere.
I those are great projects. Access to high speed internet in the rural areas is a real issue. Since the election, I've maintained somewhat of a presence in some of the local community organizations or community groups on social media, and I see consistently questions that are being asked as to what is the most reliable or what is the best internet for areas in the county that are very, again, rural. They're not, I don't want to say metropolitan, but the urban areas, the big towns in the county. And there are very few choices there. You essentially have one choice if you want high speed, and that's usually to go with satellite internet. And so investment in strengthening and broadening that access to every resident in the community, regardless of where you live, whether it be Rensselaer, DeMont, Wheatfield, Remington, you should be able to live out in the county in I'm going to say Gillam Township. You should be able to get high-speed internet in Gillam Township just as you would in say, Rensselaer. And choice would be great, but at the moment, we don't have choice. So I agree with you there. I love what you said about extracurricular activities. I think that is really important as well. I would echo the same sentiment, not only for just school-age children, but even adults. Why do we not have more summer league sports or activities or groups that just get together and either do community service or work on bettering the community? It seems as though, especially now where it's so hard to be around other people and gather socially, that with the promise of the potential to have something to look forward to, I think would really help some people with the mental stress and anxiety and what we're all kind of feeling right now, where it's winter, you can't really be outside as much, it's cold out, you don't want to be out, it's dark longer, the daylight hours are gone so quickly, you know, having something else to look forward to. And again, I don't want to be considered to be a Scrooge here, but a lot of what we have outside of school are church groups or youth groups. And that is a wonderful thing, but that's not for everyone. But that does seem to be the only thing that we have outside of school for kids to participate in.
I agree.
And so having something else, whether it be athletics or even just a club, I think is a great idea.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah. A question for me? Oh my gosh, wow.
Communication.
Yeah, right.
Back and forth.
Back and forth. We're having a conversation.
how would it look for the county council to put money into community hands? These organizations that we want to create. How feasible is that?
I mean, a simple proposal to go to the county council for them to have a proposal and then to deliberate, debate, discuss, ask questions, investigate how it can be used across the community is absolutely possible. It's often a challenge for people because a lot of people don't know how to even get something like that on an agenda to go in front of the county council. We don't do a very good job of educating our community about how to do that. There is money in the county's budget to be able to invest in community projects. it doesn't always have to be a business or a corporation coming to the commissioners or the county council to ask for funds to do something, especially if there is broad community engagement or community involvement. If it would affect a majority of the population, we should be investing in our community for sure. People over profit, right? So that's a community projects. I mean, these are just some examples of things that we, you know, should be looking into. And I'm going to kind of play off of your question. As a citizen, do you even know how you go about bringing something like that to the county council?
I did not.
It is a great mystery, isn't it?
And I was running for
council. Right. And I mean, I don't know that I could honestly tell you the specific procedure other than petitioning the recorder of the county to put that on the agenda, or if it goes to the president of the county council and he decides whether it gets to be put on the agenda or not. I honestly couldn't tell you either. And I feel really bad about that. But this, again, is how very little we know about how our county government actually operates.
Because it's not on the website.
It's not on the website. Mm-hmm. Our website is terrible. The county website, it's horrid. Horrid. If you're listening to this, it's terrible. Terrible. You can't find anything. It's so out of date, and it's there are no minutes, there are no agendas, there's nothing. I don't even know why we have it.
I want to touch on the community projects, because I do know that we do the Rensselaer Art Walk. So I know we have that, and I know that the same artist is coming, same artist who put it together is coming to DeMont, and they are doing murals in DeMont. Yeah, I just found that, did a little research digging.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And I as far as the Rensselaer Art Walk and the Prairie Arts Council, because we help sponsor that. We definitely help sponsor that. And so it's fun because the community comes out and they get to see the artist work. And then we have a day where, you know, we have tie dyeing and different type of art type projects that you can do for the community. And I think those projects are really fun. Like I know it was a community project a while back where trash cans were being painted, and they were being painted for the parks. So all mm-hmm. the parks got trash cans, and they were painted, and that's cool. Like that, in fact, these are things that are fun. What I realize is that it's not throughout the county. For one, like we're very separate, which we're a large county, so
right.
But we're very separate. So what may be happening in Rensselaer, we feel Remington is not even coming to or knowing about so much. And so it's important to connect with us all, because again, we're stronger together, I believe.
Absolutely.
So it's important to like connect us all so that we can really partake in these type of things that are beneficial. I think art is so beneficial. I really loved when Prairie Arts Council was having the art camps in the summer. Loved it. One of the first things I did when I got here, actually, that was one of the first things that I brought my daughter to, and I even got my two sisters. So it was all of us enjoying the art, enjoying time to just be creative. And so I feel like that's necessary. I know that like you can go to get grants, and like places can go get grants. The Jasper Newton County Foundation, that's separate from what we're asking our government or we're asking our county to partake in and to invest in its citizens.
Yeah. No, the art walk is fantastic. I really do enjoy the art walk a great deal. I find myself just driving down that little back alley just to kind of check out the art again. And it seems like every time I do, I always notice something a little different or something I didn't notice before. And it's really enjoyable. So it's good to hear that we'll be having some of that throughout the rest of the county too. So hopefully after DeMont, maybe Wheatfield and Remington can get in on that as well.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'd really like to get Remington involved. I feel like they're so far south, they end up getting mixed into the other counties like White County or Tippecanoe County because they're so far south. They're right there on the border almost. But yeah, that's great. Great news. I would really love to see more and more of that. And I agree with you with art. And I'd love to see things like, you know, music in the park, where you can go out and just listen to free music, bands, especially in the spring and summertime and in the fall. Picnic style in the evening, sometime right around sunset or sundown. There's a lot of little things that could be done to help increase the joy of life here in our community, because we have a lot of talented people. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Change That Matters. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to Change That Matters. I'm your host, Michael Lovely, and my guest today is Vandalyn Baker. She is a former county council candidate in this last election cycle. And before we move on to our next topic, our next categories of things that we're going to talk about, I want to circle back to community projects with the Prairie Arts Council. So Vandalyn's got an announcement kind of to make about the Prairie Arts Council. So go ahead.
So we're going to, Prairie Arts Council is doing Rock the Arts as we've done previously, but this year it is definitely different. We partnered with Carpenter Creek Cellars, and we're going to listen to some music and have some music on the lawn, actually, and just enjoy conversation. There'll be a booth for Prairie Arts Council to get more information about it or whatnot, but definitely still, we're still in the community. We're still going to bring something to the community this summer.
That sounds fantastic. I always enjoy the activities and events that the Prairie Arts Council puts together, so I'm looking forward to that. Do you have a date for sure on that yet? Not sure yet? Okay. So from your facial expression, I get, we don't have a date on that, so stay tuned. Make sure that you are keeping track of when that will be. So definitely something for us to look forward to. So let's transition into talking about some things that are going on, not so much locally, but let's look kind of nationally or statewide, and even on the bigger scale here. So I just want to get your thoughts a little bit on what we've seen in this last election cycle and just through the election process itself, with campaigning, voter outreach, the turnout that we've seen, and kind of the controversy going on with the idea that an election was stolen. I mean, we have no concrete evidence that that was the case. So I'm just curious your thoughts on this whole process.
I don't look at the election, and of course, it was stolen. I look at it like I've looked at previous elections where the Electoral College stepped in, and though there was a majority vote, in this case, there was not a majority vote after we counted all those votes. But how the Electoral College operates and how it produced a winner. For years, we have talked about destroying the Electoral College and simply going with the popular vote. And I feel like now, because it suits the narrative that a lot of people in this country are saying, now we want to dismantle something.
It's like we want to discount votes.
We have, at least for years in the Black community, we have had this discussion of the Electoral College and how it does negate the popular vote. We saw it in the previous election where the popular vote did not win. The Electoral Right. College put him in office. And now Right. we're seeing a reverse of what's happening, and it's unfair. It's been unfair.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating. That to me is.
It like just happens to affect the other side this time. And so now it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's unfair and okay.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I don't know what to tell you. This is our process.
It's that old cliche of, you know, it's not always fair. So I'm curious just again, your thoughts on representation. Let's talk about just Indiana. Indiana, within 14 minutes of the poll hadn't even closed in the entire state, because we have Central Time and Eastern Time. But as of 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 14 minutes after the polls closed Eastern Time, they had already called the election, and people had not even finished voting yet mm-hmm. in parts of the state who are on Central Time. I'm just curious on your thoughts as to why it seemed to be so over the top. Why were there so many people who voted to put the incumbent at the time back in office when I feel as though there is a significant population here in the state that voted against him? And it's not even about supporting Biden. It was a vote against Trump. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that the election turnout here in Indiana went the way that it did? And even not even necessarily in Indiana, even right here in our own county. Mm-hmm. Is there a root? Is there a cause? Is there something that we are lacking here in Indiana? Do we need to be more informed? I'm giving you all kinds of choices here.
Wait, you're giving me loaded questions. So I will say that when I ran for Jasper County, I said I wanted to bring the hospitality, keep the hospitality and bring it back to Jasper County. Because so much of how we operate, among ourselves, we operate in groups. We group ourselves together and that's who we roll with. It's like a family. It's, for lack of a better word, a clan. So we group ourselves in these places, in these groups where we are like-minded, where mm-hmm. we look alike, where we are, have the same values, traditions, like all that good stuff. And we don't go outside to think about other people. We don't go outside our group to mingle with someone else. It's kind of like Peter, right? In the Bible, like he went somewhere else to mingle with someone else. And they're like, no, don't do that. Like that's kind of us. We choose not to mingle. And that gives us a closed minded view of the rest of the world. Our paper, The Republican, like it posted an article about a couple who went to, this insurrection, like they went there and it posted and it had positive things to say about this thing that was happening or that had happened. And I find it interesting because the narrative and how it was so devastating and how it was so negative to so many. Our paper though didn't put any of those thoughts in it. It was simply positive. So we aren't having a thought process that includes rights and wrongs or even other people's thoughts. It's a narrative that's surrounding how we want to think and feel and believe. And that is detrimental to a society. That's detrimental to the people in a society who are not being heard, but it's detrimental to the people in society who are doing this. Because once again, we're not going to grow if we don't learn how to unify. We're not going to grow if we don't learn how to diversify and really, learn how to be okay with one another. Mm-hmm. I think that when Trump learned how to divide, and he didn't even learn how to divide. It's been division in this country since day one while we're playing. It has been. But as we, as politicians learn how to use that and continue to use that division, only thing we're doing is hurting ourselves in this divided, hateful place that we are at. One time I remember Indiana going blue, and I do believe that was for Barack Obama. And I believe
the first time. Yep.
That had to do a lot with the fact that he grassrooted his campaign. He went to people who were marginalized. He went to the people where he knew he could get that vote with that voter outreach. And he did that. And he got their vote. So I feel like when it comes to Jasper County, when it comes to Indiana, like those of us, Democrats, we do have to create that grassroots movement, that quiet movement, that knocking on doors movement, that voter outreach, come register to vote. These are the issues. I need you to be aware of what's going on. We have to bring that transparency that we're so much seeking after. We have to go and find the answers that we're seeking so that we can bring it back to the people and say, this is what's happening. This is really what's going on. How many of us would have really known about what was going on with the airport had people not started talking about it? Mm-hmm. I believe there was a newspaper article about it. But again, that was conversation. That was people having these conversations. And it wasn't even like the full extent of that project, actually. But anyway, again, like, it's just people having conversations. It's people going out, finding information, grassroots campaigns, voter outreach. And I think that that's what can help sway and turn our communities to really focus on people.
To go off of what you said, where we don't really go out and mingle in those groups or cliques of people that are not like us or not like-minded with us, there has been an effort on both sides, but more so on one particular side, to demonize the other, making people believe all these great lies about another person to the point where they don't even bother to ask them individually. They simply look at where they stand on the party line and feel like they immediately know everything they need to know about that person without ever actually having a conversation with them. And I'm not trying to be vague on purpose, but I don't want to place blame on some, but we have definitely seen more of an attempt and effort to demonize people that are more progressive, that any progressive idea for clean energy, renewable energy, for equality, basic equality, that people are more important than profit margins. Those people have been demonized, and in those people's eyes, they are evil, evil incarnate, and won't even consider giving them a vote or associating with them simply because they are either a Democrat or a Republican. In this case, if they're a Democrat, they're immediately evil people. How do we begin to overcome such labeling or such efforts? Are we ever going to be able to get away from this? I mean, I believe the answer is yes. At least in my heart, I want to say that we will be able to find unity and find common ground. But we have to be willing to at least take the steps to get to know that person or to give that person a chance. How do we begin to start that unity here, even just locally here?
I believe that's where community comes in and conversation comes in and getting us outside and really starting to talk to one another and getting to know one another. Again, not just on that political level, but what are your struggles? Like, what can I do to help you, to serve you, and vice versa? And I think that that's important. I think that that's kind of where we can start.
I mean, I purposefully want to go out and seek out Republicans and just like, I want to talk to you. I just want to talk to you. Like, give me a chance. Let's share some ideas. I mean, I long for the days when we would have debate, when we could have a civilized debate and talk about issues and talk about perspective and try to find that common ground. I mean, that is truly what democracy is finding the common ground and being able to compromise so that you have maximum benefit for a maximum amount of people. And it really is such a shame. It's such a shame that this is where we find ourselves. Such a vision.
It's true. Because because of the skin I wear, people automatically assume things of me. And it's not exactly true.
Right.
People automatically assume, oh, you're a Democrat. Not only are you a Democrat, but you must be left. You must be all the way. No, I'm not.
No.
I actually, when I do sit down, I have conversations with Republicans, or I have conversations with older people who have been here, you know, and they've been around this block, and they have their reasons for voting for Reagan or voting for Nixon, or, you know, they have these reasons. Like I find that I have some of the same common core values. I find that I can relate to them, more in some instances. And I find that if nothing else, I can learn from them, because again, we're all in this together, because just like Reagan and Nixon had questionable, and really downright policies and orders that really affected the Black community, so did LBJ and so did Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, and just like this current president, Biden will, you know, do some things that we're going to be like, what are you doing, Biden? Come on, what's happening? This is, it's just, you cannot please everyone. And in this country, it has been the history that that we really do focus on, we focus on the whiteness of our country, and that has been our history. So meeting people, talking to people, getting to know people is definitely important, because just because of the skin I'm in does not mean that we are enemies. It doesn't mean that we are so far separate from beliefs that we can't find a common ground. So if it's frustrating for me, I can only imagine how frustrating it is for people of the same race to be so divided on politics. It's disheartening. And to be so, not just divided, but so hateful in the divide. Like, so incredibly hateful. And I just, like, that blows my mind.
It's hard to believe sometimes that somebody has such a capacity for hate, to be so hateful for something that can't be changed. Like, you can't change the color of your skin any more than I can change the color of my skin. And if that is really truly what you look at to separate us, that's a really sad thing. I am a teacher, and I love every minute of it. And I always say to my students, even after the fact, that even if they don't remember or they don't learn the curriculum that I teach, I hope I can teach them at least to be a good person, to be a good citizen. I hope I've been able to prepare them for life outside of high school, for outside of this community, so that they can be a good citizen. And that I can't imagine living in a world where we were all the same. It would be so boring if we all had the same thoughts, we all looked the same, we all, you know, did the same things, we all liked the same things, we all didn't like the same things. It would be so boring. We would not have the creativity that we do. We would not have the, you know, engineering that we do, you know. It really is a shame that this is kind of where we find ourselves. And how on earth did we get here? How do we go back? How do we fix this? How do we fix the Great Divide?
It's called the Great Divide because of a reason. This is not, oh my gosh. This is interesting. I think from the beginning of Manifest Destiny in real life, with this notion that because we are Americans, we get to conquer. We're better than, we can conquer these smaller people. And it's our destiny, it's our divine right. And the reality is, no. No.
Very simply, no.
No. I think that once we start to de-learn or unlearn some of these things, once we start to be educated on our biases and how we can affect other people, and once we start to take our Christian values of love thy neighbor like you would love yourself, once we really start taking that into into heart and getting an understanding of truly what that means, that's when we start to change and start to see. And I went to a council meeting. I went to a county council meeting. At the end of the meeting, like, the guy makes a reference to, like, and I don't know which councilman it was, but he made a reference to the police. He's like, "Where's our security?" And he looks at me. "Where's our security? Where's the police?" The, what's this, Ren caught off guard completely and was like, I don't know about where our police are. We'll have to look into that. But that was a dog whistle. He literally blew a whistle and I don't know what the point was, because though I heard, I don't know what you want me to do with it. I was like, wow, this is what we do. This is who you are. And you're so comfortable in who you are. You're so comfortable with the reality that you're protected and that you're okay. You are outly who you are at this point. And while so many of us are so upset and so disgusted with our former president, I must admit, the man let it be okay for people to be who they are. And I'm happy he did, because now I see you. And now we can see what needs to change. Now we can see where that mentality is coming from. Now we can understand that in the beginning, this mess was dividing us in the core of America. And so now, how do we go about it? How do we go about it? Like, we ain't going back. How do we go forward and take care of this situation and move past it? And that's why I was saying how education is so important, how bringing in people to really discuss diversity is so important. Because when I went to the school board and I had a conversation with them about my daughter being called the N-word, about her hearing the N-word in her school, about how it was a hostile environment, about how she was like constantly being assaulted and accosted, but there was no repercussions to the other people. Crickets through the school board, not a word. But yet we can, and yet we can have a conversation at the school board, because this was at the same school board, about a female wrestler who didn't get her walkthrough. And the females on the school board could relate. They could relate. They were upset. They were like, "We're sorry this even happened." The men couldn't relate. They were crickets. So it was crickets on the school board because there was no representation. There was no understanding of a situation. And even if there was, it was, "We don't know what to do about it." And so now we as Americans are being confronted. We are being confronted with our ugly past. We are being confronted with, what do we do about it? And it's time to go back to our values.
Yeah. We have to go back and like you said, you know, we now know who you are, and we can work to find unity again and help, I guess, educate those people a little better or a little more to realize that we're all in this adventure together. Ooh. We're all in this race, the human race. We're all in this race together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can either fight against each other, or we can do this race together. We can complete the race together. I'm very hopeful. I think I feel like we are on the path towards unity again. I'm very hopeful in the new administration, the new president, that we will see that happen. I really wanted to see a little bit more change at the state level. Some more change in the local level would have been great as well. However, you know, the majority, you know, won, and we have to continue working towards that ultimate goal and not give up.
But where I saw change at is in the hearts of people. I saw change in our community, and that was important. I saw change where people started to see themselves or see their neighbors, or, you know, start to ask questions of, could this be offensive to you? I saw change where, and I see change where, like, now, like, I'm a part of a book discussion, Healing the Racial Divide, because we really want to know how do we heal the racial divide. I include it because I have my biases. I was born in America just like you. And so we've been ingrained with certain biases. And so how do we heal this? And I think it's so important. I'm so hopeful as well because I saw the change in the community. I saw people's hearts. And that was highly important. That was highly, beneficial to humanity, like to me and to being a human. So
I love that. That's wonderful. I mean, that's really what we need to see is the change. We are coming up on February, which is Black History Month, and the whole month. And I just want to ask you, what does Black History Month mean to you? And what would you like others to maybe reflect upon during this time?
Okay, well, I love Black History Month. Let's just get this out the way. I am Black 365 days out of the year, not just on February, in February.
Right.
I love Black History Month, however, and I am extra Black on Facebook that whole month because there's so many gems, so many drops of information that you can glean, and it's just so important. It's just like you never things that you never even expected. Rosa Parks was not tired; she was a whole civil rights activist before she sat on that bus. Like, she was already doing the work. Like, I didn't know that until years ago. You know, I was brought up. I had learned in my history book that she was a tired lady who sat on the bus. Mm-hmm. No, so it's informational, and it's fun. It's so fun. Because we do get to see, how much we've influenced American culture and how important we are. What I would like people to get from it is that Black History Month is not just for me. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. It should be American history. Let's just, like, point blank, it should be American history. These are things that should be taught right along with American history, with what's going on in our communities. This is not always the case.
Black history is American history.
It definitely is, but it's history that has been left out. It's history that has been forgotten. It's history that has been washed. So this is the time to really, like, get engaged and get involved and really just get an understanding of what it really was, what it really looked like. I didn't know that during the Reconstruction era, we had so many senators and mayors who were Black. What? So you mean to tell me the same, like, we were fighting for rights in the 60s for rights we already had during the Reconstruction era. I did not know this. Shout out to PBS. Did not know this. I realize this now because I learned because of a special that happened during Black History Month. So we're always learning. We're always growing. And I hope that me being honest and being transparent and being vulnerable doesn't come back on me, but really kind of opens us up to see that this is for everyone. None of us are exempt. None of us know the true history of America. None of us know all of this. We're all growing and learning in this.
Right. It's a great opportunity for us to learn more about just history in general of our country and Black history. So, like you said, it should just be in February, but always, because it is part of it's American history.
Once you start to get the understanding of our country, the history of our country, then we can really start putting pieces together for our current situation and for the state of our politics and where we are and the question of how do we get here becomes very clear. It becomes very obvious of how we got here once we start putting, like, start looking at our history and start searching our history and not just what the, what's in the history books. Because we learned about the Industrial Revolution, but while the Industrial Revolution was going on, there was also something happening in the background to the to the disenfranchised of this country that still, like, is like the catalyst and the push for what we're dealing with now. It's continual. Mm-hmm. And once we realize that, then we can stop passing this trauma onto our children. And then we can truly say it's not about race, because we can stop passing this trauma on to our children. And this is what I've learned. I have really learned living in Jasper County, living here for 10 plus years, walking in Jasper County with a chip on my shoulder because we were being mistreated, because I was not looked at, because my child was hearing these words at school, and just really just becoming more burdened with the idea of race and black and white. And what I have learned is that at the core of the issue, at the core of black and white, it is still the human condition. At the core of it is, most people don't just hate me because I'm black, okay? Most people don't just hate because of the color of your skin. That's that small few that we have seen. A lot of us have biases. A lot of us have things that we don't check ourselves with and look into, and therefore it spews out onto the people around us, onto other people. And then it just happens. So what I realized is that at the core of this race thing between loving people, okay, tends to be a human condition. And whether it's jealousy, whether it's your own insecurity, whether it is, that's pretty much it. Jealousy, insecurities, and those other human things, whether it's like your mental health, like whatever those things are, like that's at the core of this race thing. Like we're all human. And once we can look at a brother or a sister, and I can look at you, my brother, and I can say, I'm okay with paying XYZ more money so that you can get the help that you need, so that you can get the medical help that you need. I'm okay with paying this much money so that this kid over here can have open heart surgery. I'm not looking at it as, oh no, cause they poor and they're going to use that money. And they're going to just sit on their butts and not work. And then they're going to get free healthcare, and I'm not going to be a part of that. When did we stop caring about each other? And when did we start caring about what they're going to do, as opposed to just saying, this is the righteous thing to do. This is the thing that Jesus would have wanted me to do. We all operate out of love. That's what I can say.
Right. It's the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right. Right. And not have reasons for not doing something for your brother. Like, and that's interesting to me, that we validated mistreating people. We have validated not helping people. We have validated, holding people, like making them less. We validated these things with words and with facts that are not true. We validated these things, and that blows my mind.
And those are all very great points. We've had a great discussion, again, I think this leads us into a lot more discussion, and we could talk for hours and hours and hours. And I really hope that everything that you've said, that the audience will, and all the listeners will really take into account and really be reflective on, so that we can again start to heal and move forward. So again, Vandalin, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. I appreciate everything that you've said. I really enjoy having conversation with you, and I hope we get to see each other again soon. And maybe you'll come back and be a guest again on the show. So again, thank you so much. And we'll chat next time. So you are listening to Change That Matters. I'm your host, Michael Lovely, where we have conversations that count and talk about change that truly matters. Tune in next time for the next episode. Take care.
Bye.